Welcome back to the Roundtable. Our next guest is author, botanist, and Native American scholar Robin Wall Kimmerer, whose work explores the natural world as teacher, partner, and gift. Her new book, Bud Finds Her Gift, marks a departure, really, an illustrated picture book for young readers that addresses the themes her adult volumes, Braiding Sweetgrass and The Serviceberry, have come to be known for. Kimmerer weaves together indigenous wisdom and scientific knowledge, urging us to attend to the world not as conquerors, but as kin. Bud Finds Her Gift addresses themes such as gratitude and interconnectedness and the generous invitation to ask, what do I have to give back? We welcome Robin Wall Kimmerer to discuss how this picture book emerged, why she chose the form, and what she hopes children and their grown-ups will carry with them. It is a great pleasure to welcome Robin Wall Kimmerer back to the Roundtable. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
How did this particular project come about?
You know, for years, people have been asking me, could you find a way to share the messages of Braiding Sweetgrass with a younger audience? And subversively, not only with the younger audience, but with the people who are reading to them. And so it was really in response to readers asking for it. And I began imagining how in the world could I distill a book of, you know, almost 400 pages into a children's book format. And so it was a wonderful project to think about how to do that and to work with the brilliant illustrator, Naoko Stoop, who carries so much of the story with her beautiful work.
It is beautifully, just lushly illustrated. It is celebrating a lot and gratitude and finding our place in the natural world. What is the story ultimately that you wanted to tell?
Well, I wanted, in this time when there's so much competition for our attention, right, from corporations, from our screens, from any number of distractions, I wanted to celebrate and cultivate paying attention to the natural world, which kids are already really good at. And I wanted to lift that up and say that that is important. That gift that children carry of paying attention is important. But in the story, the gift of attention leads our little girl, Bud, to gratitude for the gifts of the natural world, and then to say, how could I reciprocate the gifts of the natural world with my gifts? She's essentially asking and exploring, what's my gift? How do I respond to the gifts of the world? And so ultimately, I want to celebrate that, and I wanted to cultivate agency for children to recognize that, oh, they might be small and feel that sometimes powerlessness, but they have beautiful gifts to share that matter to the natural world. And so Bud finds her gift by paying attention not only to the living world, but to paying attention to herself and what are the gifts that she as a young woman can offer.
And Bud is relying not only on the natural world, but on also on a stillness, on a pause.
Absolutely. The kinds of paying attention to the gifts of the natural world don't come in a 5-second burst. Oh, sometimes they do, I suppose, but it really does require slowing down and giving yourself the space and time to engage with beings other than ourselves. And so it is with her grandma, her Nokmis's help, to recognize that slowing down and paying attention is a really important element of being human and helps us know the gifts of the world and what our gifts are too. We have to slow down and pay attention.
Have we always been bad at that, or have we just gotten bad at it?
Oh, what a good question. I think acceleratedly we have gotten bad at it. In large part because there's so much competition for our attention at any moment. We could be drawn into both the digital world, the noise around us, the built environment, and all of the pressures that we face. But to be able to just stop and think, oh, and look, the luxury of just looking at the world, listening to the world, takes time. And for children especially, we sort of, I was going to say contaminate, that's not really the right word, but we engage them in our own busyness. And part of the beauty of childhood, part of the beauty of being a human being is spaciousness, the spaciousness to notice and appreciate the world. So yeah, this is meant to be a little bit of more than a little bit of resistance to a culture of busyness and attending to the built environment and shifting it to the natural environment.
As this starts off, Bud is saying that everyone always has something important going on, and this is Bud wanting to do something that is big and important. And it's knowing when that important thing, when you can do it and how you do it and what it is, and understanding that. And I think it's such an interesting and beautiful message that you're sending, because it just takes that moment to stop and reflect on what it is that you have around you.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially the way the illustrations encourage that noticing. As a botanist, as a mother and a grandmother, one of my great joys is walking through the woods with kids and seeing how much they notice and sense about the world that we're not pointing out, but just come into their experience. And I wanted the illustrations to convey that same sense of a field trip of walking through the woods together. And there's so much to notice in the book that I think you could breeze through it, but you could also take the time to really have a child notice the praying mantis and the butterflies and the flowers. And again, as a botanist, it was important to me that they be real beings, particularly for your audience, right? Real beings of the Northeast, which is my home place as well. So Naoko kindly researched the right birds, the right plants, the right insects, so that there's a very good chance that what a child notices on the page with that invitation, celebration of noticing, is someone they would see in their backyard. And I want that reinforcement that, oh, attention pays off. Then you learn to see it again and again. And the more you look, the more you see.
That idea of incorporating the species of fauna and flora, did you have any say in that, or was it just something that was done naturally by Nagoma?
I did. I was able to give that request that the beings be realistic, and Naoko very kindly and excitedly agreed to do that. And in talking with her, it was wonderful to see her own digging in to field guides and species lists to know who are the likely neighbors that a child would encounter in a walk in the woods.
The book has been out for a little bit now. What has the reaction been?
Well, the reaction that means the most to me is the reaction of kids. And so I have read the book and shared those stories with a number of children's groups and class visits, etc. And the children, my sense is that they're very taken. They're very taken with this idea that they have gifts to offer, when they see Bud using her art to inspire people to care for the land, when they see Bud and her family in a community garden, they're saying, "Oh, I do that too. Look, I have strawberries in my garden. I have a robin in my backyard." The beings who are highlighted were very intentionally highlighted to be those that a child might notice. And so my sense is that it gives them a sense of belonging, of knowing, like, yeah, I know those beings, and now I can attend to them in a different way and hear what they might be saying to me.
And the messages that it sends regarding curiosity and wonder and imagination is lovely as well. I assume that's something that you wanted to pinpoint.
Oh, of course. And to expand the way that we notice from just noticing with her eyes, that's one of the things that her grandma encourages her to do, that we experience the world, sure, primarily visually, but what happens when you essentially listen with your toes in the grass? What happens when you hear? What happens when you smell intensely? That these are whole body ways to notice the world. And it enlivens the world. It makes the world even more enchanting. And so absolutely, that was my goal, is to deepen the kind of noticing to bring a real joy that comes in noticing the living world and feeling a part of it.
When you're with those students and they're following along, I assume you see eventually the wonder in their eye as well, and probably an excitement to get out and actually start looking at stuff.
Yeah, it's true. I was telling them all about how, as a child, I used to like to wander around with my magnifying glass to look closely at things. And some of the kids were saying, "Oh, my mom has a magnifying glass. I want to go look at bugs. I want to go look at mosses." But Joe, I also want to say that many of the kids were excited to identify and relate to beings around them. But I also encountered deeply urban communities where they didn't necessarily know what moss was. There's a lovely scene of understanding the gift of mosses and its relationship to birds and soil. And one of the children asked, like, "What is that? Is that grass? Is that just short grass?" And in that moment, it reminded me how, for many children, there's a real disconnect from nature, and they don't have this tactile lived experience of knowing the world. And that for me enhances the importance of the book, because it might be that that's one of the primary vehicles for understanding and appreciating the world, and maybe it will heighten people's awareness of these beings with whom we share the planet.
The name of the new book is Bud Finds Her Gift by Robin Wall Kimmerer and beautifully illustrated by Naoko Stoop. Robin, what a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us. Best of luck with the new book, and I so appreciate you sharing with us.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Again, Robin Wall Kimmerer's new book is Bud Finds Her Gift. It is published by Clarion. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.